Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as
respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4. Hey,
nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin on the Triple M Network. It's thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton, because you can't frighten a Mitsubishi Triton. Plenty to get through on the show this afternoon. Let me welcome in the panel before we go any further in our Brisbane studio, the Raging Bull Gordon Tallis. Welcome to you.
Good afternoon, guys. Afternoon, Maroon.
What are we hearing about a bit of fishing yesterday for you?
Did a bit of fishing. It was good. All right, nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
So
you take little Billy with you?
On Friday, so I drove home. On Thursday night, so got home and then went up and did a bit of fishing, relaxed.
All right, we'll get a little bit of an update on that. Maybe you've got some fishing tips to listeners of the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Paul Kent from Fox League, nice to see you too, old mate.
You too, mate.
And let's start with you, James Triceps Hooper. G'day to you and welcome to the show.
Afternoon, Anthony.
I want to get straight into it today, boys, because we've got some news before we go to anything else. Today's game has been postponed. So the game this afternoon, which was set down for 4 o'clock at Bankwest Stadium, Roosters and Dogs, the game has been postponed. It's a COVID-19 precaution. Hoops, can you fill us in?
Big yarn. So there's been a COVID scare sweep through the NRL. It is as a result of Bulldogs prop Aiden Tolman's kids attending the Laguna Street Primary School down in the Sutherland Shire, and a teacher from there has tested positive to COVID-19. As a result, all the parents of the school were sent an email last night at about 8 o'clock stipulating that the kids would no longer be attending school for the next fortnight. Everybody needed to self-isolate. Aiden Tolman immediately let the Bulldogs and the NRL know about it. From there, he's been fast-tracked and given special dispensation to go and have a test at hospital this morning. We should get the results of that within the next hour while we're on air, so we'll keep people up to speed. Fingers crossed it's negative. They believe that it is extremely low risk and that the chances are fairly remote that he may have been exposed to it. And that's how it sits at the moment. He's currently holed up in a hotel room isolating after having done the test at Royal Prince Alfred Hospital.
But what would it mean if he's not negative? What would happen if he's not negative?
Well, he'll have to isolate. He'll have to stay away. The team will
then. I should say, if he's positive, yes. Yeah. I'm getting confused, like George Costanza doesn't know negative from positive. But if he's positive to COVID-19, what does that mean for this game that's been postponed till tomorrow evening?
Well, the players have also had a test.
The Bulldogs players. They haven't quite got to that yet, but that's happening this afternoon.
Yeah.
And they will get the results of the entire, it's not just the Bulldogs players, it's actually everybody within the Bulldogs bubble. So it's all of the other 49 people within the Bulldogs bubble are currently in the process of going through COVID tests now. They should get fast-tracked results by tomorrow morning.
All right. So if all goes to plan, and we'll keep you up to date on this, but if all goes to plan, we'll have this game on Triple M tomorrow night at 7, live from Bankwest Stadium. That'll be the Roosters and the Dogs. And the local derby, Sharks and Dragons, have been moved forward to 4 o'clock today.
Yeah. So we'll have well done to the NRL for doing that.
Yep.
So I think that's really agile thinking, and well done to the clubs involved as well, that they can move so quickly. I know it's much easier without fans and all the rest of that, but to actually sit there and just, okay, we'll move this around, we'll put the game over, delay it for a day, and then to move the other game into the 4 o'clock slot, I think it was excellent from the NRL.
commission Zoom meeting at 8 a.m. this morning, and that's how they nutted it all out.
All right, so just repeating that news, that game set down for this afternoon at 4 has been postponed, a COVID-19 precaution. It'll now be played tomorrow evening, and tonight's game has been brought forward to 4 o'clock. That's the latest on that, but it'll probably be a situation that changes whilst we are on air this afternoon. And thanks to Tyre Power, Manly 20 defeated the Broncos 18. Broncos led 18-0 in that game. Warriors, another big score, 37-26 over the Cowboys. We might get a chance to talk about the Cowboys. Then a high-quality game on Friday night. Parramatta just came back to beat Penrith 16 points to 10. Rabbitohs 32 over the Titans 12. Storm 26, Knights 12. Raiders 14, Tigers 6. So it's been a very important round of the rugby league. Let's talk about the Storm and the Knights to get us underway. Although we've all been impressed, Paul, with the Knights so far, I kind of thought maybe the Storm might shorten them up a little bit yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well, you talk about what the Knights have been able to do this year, Anthony. And the fact is they're trying to play very much a Melbourne style, but they're still coming to terms with that. So it was the well-grooved, methodical, relentless Melbourne Storm against a team that is basically trying to teach itself to be very similar to that. So that just showed, I think, where the Knights are in their education. They're certainly, they started a bit slow. Melbourne obviously came pumped, ready to sort of knock them out of their groove and did that early. And that was the game, essentially.
Cameron Smith put on a masterclass. Mm. I heard a number of the Fox commentators say last night that that's the best 40 minutes they've seen from him in quite a period of time, which is saying something given his standing in the game. So, look, I think he wanted to make a statement. The Storm had some teething issues adjusting to the new six again rule, and Craig Bellamy even raised it last night in the press conference where I think they had six again calls go against them last night, and they haven't had a lot of explanation as to why, whereas Newcastle only had one. So, certainly I think they're still just adapting to the new interpretations around the ruck because of the style of footy that they like to play, but they've clearly made the necessary adjustments based on what we saw last night, and you'd think they're only going to get better.
Yeah, look, Cameron Smith was outstanding, and I thought Melbourne Storm, because they are the best at set plays and structure and sticking to their game plan, it'd be hard to change those great habits. They were great habits to win the comp. So it took them a couple extra weeks, but Cameron Smith, you know, where I thought, dare I say it now, that he was looking a bit old and clumsy, and then he comes out and does that. So, mate, once he shaved that beard off and got the weight off his shoulders, he was right.
You raise a great point, Gordon. A couple of people, there was just a couple of little quiet whispers when the competition resumed about, geez, is Cameron, you know, like, is he starting to look just a tiny bit as though he's slowed down slightly? He is. What is he, 37 or 38?
I thought he was 36. Anyway, I could be wrong.
We'll check the records. But there were quiet whispers starting to go around the game, but then he comes out and just makes a statement like what he made last night. He's kicked the door off the hinges.
It's amazing, isn't it, how that game last night, I was thinking, well, when the Fox League commentators alluded to the game he was playing, I thought, how does he find the passion and the drive to perform like that since 2003 and 400-plus games? He's just an amazing character.
Yeah, look, the fact that he can keep himself motivated, I think, is real an insight into the mentality that's driven him to the top, because every player that retires, they eventually say that they just can't get the motivation to train. But Cameron never misses a session. He's involved the whole time. So I just, he's a marvel. He really is.
So we were both right there, Hoops. He's 36, but he turns 37 on Thursday. So
there you go.
Bit each way.
I'll tell you what'll be interesting is if he can maintain that vein of form that we saw last night for the rest of the season, well, there's an argument that he'll be good to go on until he turns 38 next year. Where that gets really interesting is Harry Grant, who's currently at the West Tigers, has a get-out clause if Cameron does decide that he wants to go around again. Mm. And if he's playing the way that he played last night, no one's going to argue.
What about the Knights last night there, boys? Because to their credit, they were down about 18-0 or 18-2 at one stage, and they came back and scored a couple of tries, and it didn't really blow away till the very end when they gave away a sort of a silly or a controversial penalty, but they were right in the hunt there, the Knights.
Well, listening to their coach, Adam O'Brien, in the press conference afterwards, as disappointed as he was with how they didn't quite jump out of the gates the way he wanted them to, he was pleased and reassured with the grit that they showed to fight their way back into a position to be in the game. And you touched on that penalty. I think that was a big turning point. It didn't cost Newcastle victory, but it definitely was a big moment in the game. And I'm not sure how, Gordy, I don't know how you saw it, but how does David Clemmer disappear when he's got Dale Finucane coming at him at 1,000 miles an hour like he was?
Yeah, look, there's some accidents in the game, and that's right, you can't disappear, you can't get out of the road. There's no trapdoors in the middle of the field, and he's not the smallest bloke.
Correct.
Clemmer, he's only 6'5" and about that wide. So it's, I don't think it cost them, but, you know, like, I think Knights, for them to fight back, you know, after the first half from Melbourne Storm and with 20-odd minutes to go, to be a try away, you know, I think that they'd take a fair bit out of that.
Well, we'll have a word to Peter Volandis, and we'll have trapdoors on the field by next week if you want them, Gordy.
Talking about they might get trapdoors in this studio too.
It wouldn't be a bad idea with creeps like you hanging around.
What's there, no mirrors at your house?
All the lists you're
creeps,
on.
Fair dinkum.
Now, the points at the moment, the Eels lead the comp on 10. Obviously, they are undefeated and flying along. Raiders 8, Storm 8, that's the top three. Then just outside the three, you've got the Knights on 7 and the Panthers on 7. Manly on 6, Roosters on 4, and the Cowboys on 4 as well. And the Cowboys were disappointing again over the weekend. Boys, do you think, Gordy, you're from Townsville, let's start with you, you're from that part of the world. Do you think they're going to struggle this year?
Well, it looks like, isn't it? The way they played on Friday night, I think with no Michael Morgan, so you need, you know, I mean, everybody's talking about how important your six or seven or your playmakers are because there's so much fatigue in the game and they can, you know, help your forwards out. So they're up against the Val Holmes is coming back. He's, you know, six games into his NRL career again. So I think that they might. You know, Tamalolo's been outstanding, but there's no 1-2 punch. You know, Matt Scott, they don't have the impact as they did, you know, a few years ago where they just make so many metres up the middle and give Morgo and Thurston so much time and space. But I reckon they'd be disappointed with that loss to the Cowboys.
No doubt about it, Gordy. And the noise has been consistent for a while now about the players and the coach, Paul Green.
Right.
And, you know, it's been written a number of times and it's been denied a number of times, but it has been a consistent theme for a while now. And look, if they don't win games, that'll only continue to manifest.
No, well, he's been there for what? I think he's in his seventh season with the Cowboys, won a premiership, made a couple of grand finals. He's had a good run there, Paul Green. But last year he had just the most horrid run with injuries.
Yeah, it's not injuries. They're just not playing well. I had Cowboys coming about 11th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they're a semi-final team. I think they've been an old team for a long time, and without Tamalolo, there's just no punch whatsoever. Bear in mind, Michael Morgan's still to come back.
Yeah.
They've got a slow attack. Okay, they have to set up all the time. They will burn tackles to set up for what is then basically a slow shift in attack, which in the modern game, it's just too slow. It's so easy to defend against, and yet they continue to play that way. So I think the Cowboys, there's just nothing there that I think scares opposition teams other than Taumalolo.
Mm. Well, here in the city of Sydney, everybody is talking about the Parramatta Eels, who were down 10-0 to Penrith for a long time in that game, but they never, ever looked like they were out of the game. There was probably once or twice their hoops where some of them individually looked like they might have been panicking just a little, but 10-0's not a lot to come back from anyway, but they always looked like they were going to load the gun and come back.
Cracking game, Maroon. Absolute belter. And I thought Wunga Blake when the game was in the balance and you needed a couple of big clutch plays. He clearly wanted to make a statement to his former club, which is the Penrith Panthers. They let him go. And when he got that opportunity one-on-one against Stephen Crichton, who's going to be a damn good young gun player, I felt as though for Wunga, it was an opportunity to say, righto, well, here's what you let go. You shouldn't have let me go. And then he came up with another brilliant pass, again, with the game in the balance to ultimately win things for Parramatta. So, yeah, they cracking looked terrific.
And cracking game of footy, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
And and Parramatta, they've got the old and the new. You know, like, I love that their forward pack, you know, with all that passing out the back. That was really good. When James Graham brought it in and it was an English style of play with that highly skilled front rower type of thing, everybody copied it. But like the game's moved on. Parramatta, they all come off the back fence, or maybe row 15, and you got Brown that's mad. So he's their barometer, like all their enthusiasm. And they just lay a great platform. And then their natural ball runners and Gutho and Moses, they're just having a field day with, you know, just going at the line with numbers and speed.
I'm glad you brought up Nathan Brown, Gordy. Wow. He came back from suspension, and you can see, aside from being an enforcer, he's got some subtle football, some ball-playing ability as well, which through the middle of the field, with the new six again interpretation, it's dynamite.
Okay, let me ask you about Parramatta. Kenty, at the moment, are they premiership favourites?
Oh, yeah. I don't think they are.
Right.
They're entitled to think they are. They're undefeated. They're clearly going to be there at the pointy end. They're going to be a top four team.
Yeah.
I still think the Roosters, what I like about the Roosters is that they, even under the change in conditions now, they can beat you both ways. They can defend and beat you 8-6, or they can go out and put, as they did against Brisbane, put 59 on you. So I'd still like the Roosters, but there's no doubt, I think, if the Roosters are going to win the comp, they're going to have to beat Parramatta.
Okay, what about you, Gordy?
I think, you know, the performance the other night coming from behind, there's not enough. I was talking to Matty Johns, and he's good friends with Matt from Collaroy, and he was saying, but mate, I was sitting there at Fox, and he said something really interesting. He goes, the first 60 minutes of a footy game, it's like you're sitting there playing the pokies. And the last 20 minutes, it's like you're in the high rollers room. So the decisions are bigger. And that's what Parramatta's got to do. Like that last 20 minutes when the game's on the line, if they can keep on closing the deal, you know, that's the confidence what they need. There's no doubt that they got the ability. Their forward pack's brilliant. Their backs, when they're on song, they score a lot of points. But it's when, yeah, they're playing off the back foot and the game's on the line. Can they get the job done?
Well, they did that the other night against a quality team.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Penrith are a quality side.
It's not the Roosters and Raiders,
but they were down, what was it, 10-0 at half time to the Panthers and came back and won the game. I think that was a pretty solid achievement from a team, and I think it speaks well of their premiership credentials.
I reckon the other big test as well for Parramatta is going to be handling the hype, because they're currently in the longest drought of any NRL club in terms of winning a title. You've got to go all the way back to 1986, and there's going to be consistent references to ding dong, could the witch finally be dead? It's been 34 long years. The other two times that they've started the season 5-0, they've won the comp, 83 and 86. So there's going to be a lot of pressure, outside noise. I think that's also the other big test. Aside from learning to play off the back foot and beating the best sides, they're going to have to handle hype.
Well, talking of the hype, it reminds me back in 1976, Kenty, when they went on the street parade the week before the grand final after the grand final.
Yeah, I know. It was a funny one, that, wasn't it? Yeah, I can't remember that, Anthony. I was a little bit young for that
one. 10.
Were you driving the Ford Cortina in that street parade?
I think I was in the HJ Holden Statesman there with the side levers going, and I might have been taken away on a Craven A filter too, if I remember correctly.
With the packets tucked up one sleeve.
But I was only 10, though, remembering. I was sitting on the old-fashioned phone books. But, boys, this is all those scores of thanks to Tyre Power. If you go there right now, you buy three, you get one free on selected Falcon passenger tyres. Now, Maroon's poll. I've just remembered to get the poll out, and here it is. The poll for today, on the back of this talk about Eddie Jones wanting to be an NRL coach, do you think Eddie Jones would succeed as an NRL coach? Get us on our NRL Facebook page or at MMM_NRL. I say he won't succeed as an NRL coach. I say, with all due respect for everything he's done, I know he's one of the greatest rugby coaches of all time, if not the greatest. But I say stay in your lane. If you're a rugby coach, be a rugby coach. It's like these players going to play in the NFL. It never works. It never will. My club, the most famous of NRL clubs, I'd rather have an NRL coach.
Mate, that is why
you
you're on
the Dragons, Maroon.
No, I support the Rabbitohs, as you know.
Okay, well, you said the most famous club.
Well, mate, one thing we know for sure, it's not the Titans, okay? It's not the Titans,
that
all right?
That is why you're on the big bucks as one of Sydney's leading community radio disc jockeys.
The Titans aren't even the number one club on the Gold
front
Coast.
Front foot, whack, hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
That is why you're on the big dollars.
Mate,
I didn't hear from you last week, Anthony, when they won.
But they'd won their one game in a row. I wanted to let you celebrate, Gordy. But who's
mate,
with
it only
me?
Took us 364 days.
Well, it's always a funny side to it, isn't it? But they came down to earth with a thud yesterday at Bankwest Stadium. But we wish them all the best, the Titans. Here's my poll again. Do you think Eddie Jones would succeed as an NRL coach? I say no.
Ooh.
Hoops.
Little bit of breaking news just in relation to that last night game between West Tigers and the Canberra Raiders. So Russell Packer, who whacked Joseph Tarpanay good and proper in the second half, has been charged with a grade 3 careless high tackle. Mm. He's looking at 2 weeks if he takes the early plea or if he wants to fight it and he gets found guilty, he's risking 3 weeks.
All right, that's Hoops, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon here. It's the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. We do it thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton because you just can't frighten a Triton. Damien Cook from the Rabbitohs joins us shortly. We'll talk about Raiders Tigers yesterday. Dragons fans, we talk more on the crisis. This talk about unmerging and the Bennett talk and the Isaac Luke to Broncos. If you're a Dragons fan, stick around. We'll do that next hour as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday CB. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M with Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon. Plenty to talk about today. And the scores thanks to Tyre Power. Rabbitohs 32 over the Titans 12 yesterday at Bankwest Stadium in the beautiful city of Parramatta. And from the victorious team, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, we've got the great Damien Cook on the line. Damien, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on yesterday, mate. Nice return for Cody Walker.
Yeah, it was, mate. It was obviously great for the team to get back in the winner's circle. We felt like the last couple of weeks we'd been building nicely and doing a lot of good things, and it was great to see the rewards yesterday and get a win. And obviously, Cody definitely brings a little bit of X factor in our attack and obviously helps Reno and the team with our attack and execution as well, which was great to have him there.
Is it pleasing to see Latrell Mitchell with a smile on his face and scoring tries and setting him up? Damien, what did you think of his performance?
Yeah, no, I thought he was great yesterday, and he did his job really well, and that's a big reason why we're so excited to have him at our side. We saw, you know, the way he sets up tries. You know, obviously scored one yesterday, but the way he was setting them up and those silky hands he had out the back to Gay Guy, and then small little kicks as well. Just he draws numbers in and allows other players to get one-on-ones and give them an opportunity. So he's going to be great for us, and, you know, he's been building nicely in fullback position.
Hey, Cookie, before this new season or this new competition started with the rules, every great judge tipped you to be the player of the NRL because of the rule changes. How have you found them so far?
I'll be honest, look, I enjoy the rules. There's obviously two sides of the ball as well. And I think what we're seeing is when there is extra six, sets of six in there, a lot of the teams are just going through the middle. So it's actually a lot of work that's going through the forward pack and anyone in the defence in the middle. So I understand the quick play the balls, and there's going to be a bit more movement around there. The one ref, obviously, you can get away with a little bit of marker and obviously holding down the play the ball as well at times. And, you know, some teams are really pushing that, you know, not being offside, but they're pushing the barriers of, you know, leaving early as well. So I honestly believe the best position at the moment is probably, you know, the fullbacks and the 5-8s at the moment. They can sit back and watch that footy unfold and then jump on the ball when it's their time to get it and take advantage of it.
Are you have you sort of looked at how you can adapt your game to that, mate, and how you can take advantage of the extra playing through the middle?
Yeah, it's just obviously getting used to it as well, and different teams how they defend. Melbourne last week when we came up against them, their markers were quite just. We started retreating straight away pretty much, and where last night the Titans were quite aggressive and wanted to jump on you a bit too. So I think it's just getting an understanding of who you're playing against, and then how to adjust to that on the run. And sometimes it's just about, you know, you might see a lot of space, but sometimes it might not be your time to go. It might be better to just give the halves the ball and play the space out wide. So it's all about picking my times and definitely not overplaying my hand if there's more opportunities than normal.
Damien, you've got a great rapport with your coach, Wayne Bennett. There's been stories start to appear over the course of the last month that possibly he could be going to St George Illawarra next season. Have you or any of the other senior players had a joke or asked him about it? Or
no, we haven't, mate. We've only just, obviously you hear rumours and stuff like that as well, but nothing's been mentioned of it around the club. I haven't personally asked him anything about it either, so I'm not just sure if it's just linked to, obviously, the pressure some of the other clubs with their coaches are under, so I'm not sure if they're just trying to link Wayne back to Dragons or something like that. So, I haven't really looked into it at all, mate.
The season, mate, now that's got back, we've had a few weeks and had a look at it. Have you seen how do you think the rule changes have benefit some teams over others?
I think everyone's still getting used to the rules, but you know, we saw Parramatta come out at the start, really play some good footy, and look like they were suited to it quite well. And obviously, they thought that, you know, we're still building our game. I guess we had a couple of tough games against the Roosters and the Storm as well, and we're still sort of adjusting to the rules. And the one that's got us the best at the moment is we keep giving away those six against or penalties in yardage and allowing teams. So we had the Titans yesterday have more yardage, more good ball sets than they did yardage against us. And you come up against the top four sides, it's going to be very hard for us. And that's what we did against the Roosters Storm. We just allowed them out of their end too much. So that's going to be the big work on for us.
Just on those six again interpretations and rulings, Damien, are you getting much explanation as to the reasoning of why the referees are awarding them?
Yeah, if you get a chance to ask them on the run, normally the game gets going straight away, but if you get a chance to ask them or anything like that, they've been pretty responsive whenever I have anyway. If I've asked them a question or something, they've always they've got an answer for me. Yeah.
All right, Cookie, we'll let you go, mate. Were you going to do some stuff for us in here before COVID-19? You were going to do some stuff at Triple M, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I think I had three or four rounds where I was actually coming in on this day, I think.
Right.
Or the Saturday to do a bit. So I was looking forward to that as well. Wade Graham talked it up, so it's good fun. So I'm disappointed I missed out on that.
Yeah, well, good on you, mate. We'll no doubt we'll get you in here when all this is over. And congratulations on the win yesterday. You've got the Warriors this coming Friday night, and we'll be calling that game on Triple M.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, the great Damien Cook, joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin here at Triple M. Rabbitohs got a good win yesterday, 32-12 over the Titans. Just by the way, Maroons polled again. Lots and lots of people want to get involved with this. Do you think Eddie Jones would succeed as an NRL coach? It's a simple yes or no at Triple M underscore NRL or via the Triple M NRL Facebook page. Hoops.
Yes, Anthony.
You're looking at me like you want to say something. Do you want to say anything?
I think you will.
I was just listening.
I think he would. I think he can succeed. I think the way coaching is done these days, you get a couple of good assistants around you who can teach you that technical stuff, and as the coach, you then see you basically run the club.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way coaching has evolved, all you need to be is clearly he's got an understanding of the game, but he's got all those other qualities already in place. He knows when players are trying to con him. He knows when players are giving their best. He knows all that about players. That just transfers a lot of that stuff. And we have seen players in the past. I know you brought up players going trying out NFL and failing and coming back, but we've seen countless rugby union players come over and play rugby league and be successful.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. But now the talk has been around, as you know, Paul, him linking him with the Sharks.
Yes.
Now I'm saying of all coaches at the moment, what's that bloke done wrong? He got him to the finals last year.
Johnny Morrow.
Yeah, and we're only five games in this year.
Yeah, I think there's a feeling at the club whether John Morris, there's certainly power brokers around the club, and I'm not saying Dino Mazzatesta, the CEO, I'm saying other people around the club who have influence, are wondering whether John Morris is the guy to take them forward. And so what they're looking for is to make an impact. That's the interest. Look, it's a long shot for Eddie Jones to end up there. More than likely it won't happen.
Mm.
But certainly it's been discussed. And not at any great depth, but there's a feeling that if they're going to look at replacing John Morris, rather than just go and dip in and get all the assistants who continually get mentioned whenever there's a coaching job around, let's just break the mold a bit and get it and make an impact and get a bloke in who could be rocks or diamonds. We don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the feeling around the joint. And, I applaud them for thinking that way.
The conversations are absolutely taking place, but it's harsh. Not the Eddie Jones connection, but the fact that Shane Flanagan's been linked to a possible return to the club. And I know it's not Dino Mezzatesta, but it's other influences around the club who can have quite significant voices who have discussed, you know, possibly Flano coming back. You can't help feel for Johnny Morris in those circumstances if they're looking at bringing Flano back, because when you strip it all back, if you freeze it there, the majority of Cronulla's issues, certainly their salary cap punishments, the fact that they've had to shed players, the fact that they've got players like Matt Moylan and Sean Johnson and Josh Dugan signed on long-term contracts, that at various stages they've had to try to move to other clubs, that's all Shane Flanagan's doing. Mm. And I know he won him a premiership in 2016. But he's also got him in a fair bit of strife over the years as well.
But I will say this about salary cap management. Generally, coaches who create problems in their salary cap also are pretty adept at fixing it. You know, I look at Des Hasler there. Like, Des Hasler, Canterbury sacked him at exactly the wrong time because they had all these contracts in place. Now, if Des had been allowed to stay at the club, Des would have, I think, resolved it the way Des... Yeah, he had a plan in place. So the way he operates, he would have resolved it, and they wouldn't have had to do what Canterbury are doing now, which is basically wait out for the expiration of the contracts.
Yeah, but remember the style of footy they were playing in that last year. Their members were revolting.
That's a different issue. I'm just talking about the fact that salary cap. Some coaches sign a player for three seasons or four seasons in some cases.
Knowing full well they're going to roll them.
Knowing that after they're going to get two seasons out and then they're going to move them on.
Yeah.
And they know ways to move them on. That they actually, in some instances, actually help the player get offers from other clubs and set them up at other clubs. So, and Des has got a bit of that in him when he was doing that at Canterbury. He'd done that successfully for a number of years before he was let go. And I think Flanagan had a similar plan there at the Sharks. I dare say, if Flanagan was still at the Sharks, I don't think Josh Dugan would be at the Sharks. I think they would have found a way to move him on.
But do you think he should be allowed to come back and coach the Sharks again?
Look, once he's done his time, he's done his time. But he certainly shouldn't be allowed back early. Mm. And I don't think there's an appetite there from the NRL. There's been speculation around that the NRL would consider it. Well, that's just standard answer, that they'll consider it only when an application is received. But there's every chance they would consider it and then knock it back. That's the most likely scenario. So that I don't think that Flanagan back there next year is realistic. It won't happen.
All right, 51% of people currently say Eddie Jones wouldn't succeed as an NRL coach in Maroons poll. But I ask the question straight out to you. This is how I see it, Hoops. You're the boss of an NRL club. You're sitting on the board of an NRL club, a club that's had limited success like the Sharks, and you've got to find a new coach. What, you're going to go and get a bloke that's never coached an NRL side? He's never coached a rugby league side, let alone an NRL side, and you're going to get him to be your head coach?
Well, he's just coached Ben Turr for 5 years.
But it's not sometimes, even the same game.
Sometimes you need a circuit breaker, Anthony, like when you send the drone up over Little Kongwong and go fishing around there.
How do you
there.
Know about so that?
Sometimes, right, you've got to think outside the box and you've got to take a calculated risk. And in professional sport, some teams are prepared to do it. The Sharks traditionally haven't been one of those, but there are conversations going on around the game at the moment that perhaps Eddie Jones could be the bloke who could break the mould and get them back to where they want to be, which is winning comps.
He does have a fascination for rugby league.
He has some pretty good ideas, and Kenny, you alluded to it earlier. He must be some sort of good man manager because all of his teams are competitive and he's got success. So if he gets the right people around him for all the tactical stuff, there's no doubt attacking and defending. You know, there's been leagueies over there in rugby union for a long time teaching them defence, so he'd know the best system. If he gets a really good defensive coach in there and he comes up with attack, you know, there's no line-outs or scrums.
I think the issue where it may come unstuck, the whole plan, is, as Hoop said, Eddie Jones would be a circuit breaker for a club. It's a left field decision, and it could really kickstart a club and get them going. It could be attractive for players to go there and play under him. But I think from Eddie Jones's point of view, Eddie Jones needs to go to a pretty well established club that's very solid in its makeup, because he'd need that support. So, but they're not the sort of clubs I think would be looking for an Eddie Jones. It's the clubs that don't have that, like the Dragons at the moment. For example, they could do worse than, say, an Eddie Jones. But Eddie Jones shouldn't go to the Dragons. Is sort of, you get my point, Anthony?
Oh, I totally get your point.
You're looking very confused there.
Well, I just think it's absolutely
look at you,
bizarre.
You've tried to just kill this story down, you're conflicted, aren't you?
I can't even believe you, of all people, Paul, would say he's got a fascination for rugby league. Well, mate, I've got a fascination for rugby league too. Maybe they should give me the job.
Yeah, but we know you've got no talent.
That's right. I don't. And Eddie Jones has got a stack of talent. He's coached every country, every club. He's had nothing but success. But it's not in rugby league, Gordon.
Your job is to come up with the poll. Right. And we get to choose what side we're on.
Well, that's right. But
okay,
if it's
you
my
can't
poll,
try to convince me. You just, but mate, you got to be Switzerland.
All right.
Sit there and let us have our opinion.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we will continue with a little thing called I Call BS with Hoops, Paul Kent, and Gordon Tallis here as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Welcome back. We are right across the Triple M NRL network. And, of course, if you haven't yet heard the news, this afternoon's Roosters game with the Doggies has been postponed. A COVID-19 precaution. The game will be rescheduled to go ahead at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. The Sharks-Dragons game has now been brought forward to 4 o'clock today. So that's what's going on in the world. Last night, thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. Well, yesterday afternoon, Rabbitohs 32, Titans 12. Storm 26, Knights 12. Raiders got the Tigers in the end, and that's where I want to talk about that game, because the Raiders are back on the winning list, boys. It was hard to see that they were going to go. I thought, considering what happened the week before, Kenny, that was a game they were never going to lose against the Tigers.
Well, look, I thought so similar until I saw Michael Maguire, listen to Michael Maguire talking after last week's game, where he really had a crack at his bloke's attitude and their consistency. And I thought, well, you know what, this is going to be a Tiger side that's up for the challenge this week. And they came for the battle last night. They led early. At some point thought the Raiders might skip clear. But the Tigers were in for the fight. So defended well and competed. And I think in the modern game, if you can do that under the way the game's being officiated now, you're a solid show. It's I like the Tigers, what I saw, and obviously the Raiders, the fact that they won a game they should have won is a good sign for them.
Yeah, whenever the coach wields the axe the way that Michael Maguire did, you want to see a response, and I thought he got one in spades from his playing group last night. If you go back to when he was at the Bunnies, and Anthony, you'd recall this fondly, defence has always been the staple of Michael Maguire coach side. So when he arrived there, the Bunnies had been an erratic outfit that had never really been renowned as being a defensive benchmark. I think in his first season, they had the fifth best defence in the competition. Mm. In his next year, they had the third. And in his final season when he won the, oh, sorry, not his final, but in his third season when they won the premiership in 2014, they are the best defensive outfit in the competition. So that's what he's trying to do to West Tigers. That's the type of steel that he's trying to put into a club that's been renowned for years for being erratic, flighty, soft underbelly, and not having the minerals when the battle really heats up. And last night, I thought, even though they got beaten, I thought the Tigers showed quite a bit of bottle. It was good to see.
Okay, I just want to interrupt you for a second there, Hoops. Aiden Tolman has tested negative, according to the Channel 9 network. A COVID-19 test for Aiden Tolman. He has tested negative. Now, just getting back to the game we are talking about now, the Tigers and the Raiders, talking about the Tigers being better last night. Here's what Michael Maguire said about the Tigers and effort.
Well, at the moment, I'm trying to find that consistency that I asked for last week. I felt that everyone put their effort in today. That's one thing that, you know, I saw, and that's the response you get. And, you know, you'd expect that off the back of, you know, a performance that I thought was not acceptable. Now it's about getting those moments right to make sure that you can play at this level week in, week out.
Yeah, so, 14-6 was the final score. It was a low-scoring game. And, on the other side of the coin, the Raiders are back in the winning list here, boys. And, you know, I think that we all think they are a definite top-four side, and certainly, Gordon Tallis, a side that could win the premiership.
Yeah, absolutely. I, I really liked the Raiders before a ball was kicked. I said that they were the premiership favourites. Congratulations, I think, Ricky Stewart, 400th game. I love him. Neck and the beer. Doing a little bit of old school. But the Raiders have everything. They got a tough forward pack. They got a leader in, you know, big Josh Papali there. Their backs are brilliant. Rapana, so they got me. They got meters in their back five. They got a really good set of halves. I think Jack Whiten, dare I say it, I don't want to jinx the guy, it's the closest to Laurie Daly I've ever seen. You know, Trent Barrett had that big. He's just a big guy on the edge that runs the ball brilliant. He's, you know, his kicking game's getting better every week, and his options will be as a ball player. So I think the Raiders have everything. They're going to be hard to beat. You just hope that they don't get bored waiting for the finals to come and they lose their standard. That's what happens, you know, like.
That was why last time was a good sign, though, Gordy.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
It was a good sign that they, in a gritty game, they won the game.
They played tough.
And then Croker said that, they haven't played well since they've come back from the break, even though they beat Melbourne Storm, because we actually haven't been at our best. So the standards that they're setting for themselves are really high, and they just got to make sure that they keep on being honest with themselves.
What about Jack White and Shiner Gordon? He looked like he'd gone a dozen rounds with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, it was a beauty.
Or just one.
Yeah. Hey, this is a mouthwatering game next week, boys. Raiders Manly, 4 o'clock next Sunday. That should be an absolute cracker of a game. Now, once again, the poll, if you want to get involved, do you think Eddie Jones would succeed as an NRL coach? And on the back of Ricky Stewart's 400th game as an NRL coach, we get so much correspondence through the place about my Maroons pub quiz. People are loving it. And we thought now that we've got the 400 games, let's do a coach quiz. We might do that next as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Sunday Sinbin. After 2 o'clock, we're going to talk about the Dragons. Lots to talk about. The push to unmerge. Have you heard about that? Bennett talked to the Dragons, relinking with the Dragons. Isaac Luke leaving the Dragons. It's all going on at the Dragons, so we'll try and just unravel that a little bit more after 2 o'clock today. But right now, let's do this.
Welcome to Maroons Trivia Night.
Yes, well, so many of my trivia players across this great brown land have contacted me. I get so much correspondence over my desk through the week. Sometimes two or three emails hoops I get. And people are saying, when are the trivias coming back? I say, in the meantime, don't worry about that. It's COVID-19. Let's do pub quiz on the radio. And with our great friend Ricky Stewart clicking over 400 games as a coach, let's do a coach quiz. Now, boys, you know that your name is your buzzer for this one. Paul Kent, I'm going to have to get that big O book back off you because I'm going to need to give it away again because we don't have a prize today. So if you win it, good luck to you, get it back again. But if you don't win it, you've read it anyway.
Doesn't mean I have to read it twice, does it?
No, it doesn't. But it's a great read. But you enjoyed it the first time. That's the main thing. The big O, The Life and Times of Olsen Filippana. It's a little bit dog-eared, but that's your prize today, boys. Your name is your buzzer. Ricky has just clocked over 400 games as a coach, not as a quiz. Ricky coached Roosters to a premiership against the Warriors. Who was the opposition coach?
Gordy.
Five.
Daniel Anderson.
Yes, and it's 1-0 to Gordy.
Wow.
Number two.
We should have ended there.
Now, did Wayne Bennett coach more games for the Dragons or the Knights?
Paul. Dragons.
Correct. It's 1-1. Right, here we go. Next question. By the end of the year 2000, how many premierships, ARL/NRL, had Wayne Bennett won, including Super League, Paul? Five.
Including
Super League.
Including Super League.
Yeah. Five.
So, by the end of 2000.
By the end of 2000.
Yeah, I asked the question. Five is right, and it's 1-1. Okay. Oh, this is. Hang on.
Technically, he won some in the
2-1. Okay. Oh, it's a ding-dong battle. Sorry, mate, you want to lose your point, do you?
Listen, yeah, please. The question was actually how many ARL Super League premierships he won, not premierships.
Yeah, bull fed.
That's, yeah, seriously, does your buzzer work? Can you just test it, please, Gordon?
Now, what's the score? I've forgotten the score. 2-1.
2-1-0.
Okay, you haven't got a point yet, Hoops.
Correct.
What a shock that is. Right, here we go. Who coached Canberra in 2001?
Hoops.
Yes.
Matt Elliott.
Incorrect. It was Malmeninga. They know you're minus one. Geez, you're good at this, mate. Okay. Who was the losing coach in the 2010 grand final?
Hoops. Brian Smith.
Oh, he's got there. 2-1.
I got it.
That was neck and neck.
I thought I got
you
that.
It was neck and neck last time and he gave you the...
You got back to zero there.
Yep.
But really, you need to get some sort of a handicap, mate, because if I had a trivia team, you wouldn't be on it. But don't take that personally.
No, I'll take that as a wrap.
Okay, this is the hardest question of the night. Who is the coach? The hardest... Now, I've said it's the hardest question. Who is the coach of the Toronto Wolfpack? 5, 4, 3, Brian, 2, and it's Brian McDermott. What's the score, anyone? 2-0. Right, okay. Who was the last ever coach of the Illawarra Steelers? The last.
Hoops.
Yes.
Andrew Farrer.
Pops Farrer is correct. So it's 2-1-1. Who was the first ever coach of the Gold Coast Titans?
Gordy.
Yes.
Bob McCarthy.
The Gold Coast Titans. Oh, I said Titans.
Johnny Cartwright.
So you are.
I said Gold Coast.
Well, I said Titans, big fella. So now.
I thought you said Gold Coast.
I said the Gold Coast Titans.
You said Titans. Okay. You didn't say Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon, unfortunately, you're wrong.
Okay. Now, you only need one to win, Paul. All yes. right? Now, I don't want this to drag on to.
Yeah, I know. So right. You two shut
this
up.
Is an award-winning segment.
What NRL coach had the nickname and still has the nickname Chicken George?
Paul. NRL coach,
yeah.
Mal Meninga.
Yes. Well, congratulations, Paul. You have won the Olsen Filippana book back again.
Back, yes. I've brought it in today.
There you go. Again. So you can have another little read of that.
Yep.
And we'll do a book report next week.
That is flying, that segment.
In the meantime.
Awards all over the world.
Yeah, because, no, it is. I get so much correspondence about that.
Big in Mogadishu.
Big
in
Mogadishu, Beijing, Lebanon, all around the world they're listening. Valletta, Malta. And you only try and kick it in the guts because you are so bad at it.
I love it. It's tremendous. But Maroons pub trivia.
Next week we might give you 2 points head start. You'll still lose by 2.
Let me out of the gates early.
All right. Look, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll discuss the Dragons as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sinbin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. The footy.